Thanks, hon. I'm going to come here. Okay. Take your Bibles. We're going to be looking at Galatians 6, 7 to 10. Over the past few weeks, the common theme that seems to be coming up from what we're sharing is about sowing and reaping. So this Galatians 6 is about sowing and reaping, and many of us will know that. So what I'm going to do this morning is read from the NIV, but then unpack it and talk about what it's saying through the Passion Translation. So I hope that works. But anyway, it says this, Galatians 6, starting at verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Great passage of scripture. Did you know that you are a fruit producer?
Yes.
The big question is, what sort of fruit are you producing? And that's what I want to talk to you this morning. When I was thinking about this during the week, I felt, I don't know whether this is me speaking or God saying this to me, but the question that I came up with is, why am I reaping this? Why am I receiving this? Now, I know we can't control people and stuff happens to us. There are certain things that we need to take responsibility for our own lives and our own spheres, where we need to take responsibility for certain things. And sometimes we can reap things that we've sowed into that sphere. Does that make sense? As I say, it doesn't necessarily mean everything, because people say things, people do things beyond our control. So that's why I think what was shared earlier about the testimony of Hugh and that, you know, that experience was not a great experience. But we can actually come back in an opposite spirit to that and sow gratefulness into our National Health Service. But also the forgiveness thing that Jen prayed, you know, sowing forgiveness to them as well is like lifting a great big burden. And I think we all know this, that the world can place things on our shoulders which can weigh us down. I think, why do we feel like that? So we can sow to ourselves. We can sow into other people's gardens. We can sow into our community like we do each prayer breakfast on a Thursday morning. We are praying for our community. And on our Friday evenings, we're praying. We're sowing into our community. But think about it, sowing into yourself. I used to be, I think I'm a lot better now, but I think I used to be very hard on myself. So if I did something wrong or whatever, I would be condemning myself, really talking myself down. I think I'm over that now. I know that I can still do that. I can still recognize it, but it's not condemnation anymore. It's God almost saying, come on, Pete. Yeah, maybe that wasn't great. Let's pick you up. Let's move on, shall we? So I'm not beating myself out. And that's just the enemy, isn't it? At the end of the day, but God comes, picks us up and says, okay, you may have messed up, or that wasn't great. But come on, you're better than that. You're way, way better than that. So it's like sowing those good things, speaking positive over our lives, not speaking negatively. And it goes the same with the gardens that we're sowing into, whatever that might be. We may not agree politically with certain things, but we're called to pray for our leaders. That, I believe, is sowing. That is sowing beyond our own community. It's sowing into the wider world. And we get frustrated, if we're honest, aren't we, with some of our local leaders, national leaders around the world. But my question is, and what I question myself is, you know, what am I sowing back? What am I sowing back? Because what I sow back is what I will reap. What you reap, you will sow. What you sow, you will reap. Sorry about that. Jen was the only one that spotted. Did anyone else spot that? No. What you reap, you will sow. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus, Marilyn, did you type that, by the way? Scrap that. But Jesus just, he did that. He was the great sower, wasn't he? He was brilliant the way he sowed into people's lives. He built a supernatural family. He built a family around him. And it wasn't just about connection. It wasn't just about relationship. It was about the supernatural. And he lived with them a presence-filled life. He is fully God, fully man. But he laid that, his divinity aside. But he was actually full of the Holy Spirit. He was guided by the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what happened then, happens now. That's what we're called to do. And then we bring, he brought his reality, his kingdom to the world around him. And that's where we came up with that strap line, building a supernatural family, living a presence-filled life, and bringing the reality of Jesus to the world around us. Build, live, bring. So Galatians, just a bit of background here. This is Paul speaking to this church. Theologians believe it's probably one of, if not his earliest writing, Paul, had this amazing conversion. So they believe it's around AD 48, he wrote this to the church. But at that time, the church, although a lot of the people have received Jesus and this freedom, they were still mixing in works with it. And Paul was saying that you can't be doing that. You can't be mixing, this grace, this faith that you have, with works. And I thought of myself, actually. And I found myself actually talking to some friends of ours. We went to Knockcuts for a coffee yesterday. And I can't remember how we got onto it. But I started saying that I was in a very performance-related job. But the one thing that I thought was amazing in my sort of conversion experience was that God showed me that it's not about what I can do to be saved. It's just his.
Amen.
Him.
Him.
Just him. And I thought I might struggle at that, thinking I've got to do all these religious things, all these rules and regulations to be saved or to have this relationship with God, just like the Jews did. But I found that quite easy. And in fact, I think the things we thought would be hard accepting to become Christians was just very easy for us. And it was just, I don't think, I'm not saying it was blind faith, but it was, if this is true, we've just got to believe it.
Yeah.
Simple as, nothing else in the way. But this is what was happening to this church in Galatia, that they were starting to mix works, going back into the old man, mixing works with the grace message, the freedom message. And Paul was saying, guys, what the heck are you doing? What are you doing? This is just, you can't mix the two together. And I just wonder, is that a thing that we get to today? Are we starting to mix any works into what our lives are today, which are to be full of faith and full of freedom? With that freedom comes a responsibility. It doesn't mean to say we can do whatever we want, but with that freedom that we have that freedom to connect with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to guide us. So it frees us from the law, but it frees us to produce good fruit. And let's read it from here. So make no mistake about it, it starts to say in here. in Galatians 6, in the Passion Translation. Make no mistake about it, God will never be mocked, for what you plant will always be the very thing you harvest. So we can sow to many areas. We can sow to our flesh, we can sow to the spirit. Sowing to the flesh is like doing things for, it's all to do with me. It's all a me, self, self, self thing. But sowing to the spirit is like reading the word, worshipping, coming together, praying for each other, prophesying over each other, being obedient to God. That's where we're called to sow. So that builds us up. But the harvest that we reap is always consistent with the seed that we sow. So whatever seed we sow, that will reap a harvest. You can't plant one thing and expect the other. You can't plant anger and get peace. So I know in the social media world, we can do that. We can plant anger, can't we? We can plant all sorts of things. But when we planted that, according to this, we can reap that, whatever that might be. It's quite sobering, isn't it? You don't reap what you want. You reap what you sow. Verse 9. You okay so far? Good.
Yeah.
And don't allow yourself to be weary or disheartened in planting good seeds. For the season of reaping, the wonderful harvest you planted is coming. I think sometimes the greatest enemy can be not necessarily the soil, but it's our lack of patience and our lack of perseverance. When I was thinking about this, I think, you know, Thursday mornings, prayer breakfast, you know, we've been doing this for absolute years. I believe we are seeing a measure of increase, and our prayers have to show something, because we're looking for a transformation. Not just for ourselves, but for our locality. So we're praying for no crime in our communities. We're praying for shops to be filled. We're praying for full employment. Wouldn't God want that, to be prosperous? But it's not necessarily the soil. It could be the issue. It could be just because we give up, that we perhaps quit. But that is not an option. And then there is this amazing promise. It says in here, let me read it again. And don't allow ourselves to be weary. That word weary can also be sidetracked or become like relaxed and comfort. So it's telling you to persevere, keep going. Don't get disheartened in planting good seeds, for the season of reaping, the wonderful harvest you've planted is coming. That's a great promise, isn't it? I would love to see an amazing harvest for our community, to see the 39,000-40,000 people saved, which is exactly what we want to go after. But I'm still happy with when I'm past and I'm up in glory to sit, look down and see Tunbridge fully saved. Wow, wouldn't that be awesome? So the expectancy is not to have something happen just like that. It could, but we're in for the long haul. We're in to keep praying, to keep pressing in. And then verse 10, take advantage of every opportunity to be a blessing to others, especially to our brothers and sisters in the family of faith. So we have this opportunity to do good to all. And that word opportunity is the word kairos, which is different from chronos. Chronos is like a clock, tick, tick, you've got stages, time. Kairos is when God breaks in. So we have kairos times when God breaks in. Jan, that was a kairos time, I think. That was a moment when God broke in, when you thought, I've got to buy that gift. And it's just being more aware of those kairos times. It could be just one or two words to somebody that we meet. It's a God instance. So that's being alive to the Spirit. So yeah, I think actually, as I said last week, it's not just about sowing money. It is sowing money. Where are we sowing that money? We're not sowing it because of religious or legality reasons. Because I don't know if you know this, but the word religion means to be bound up. To be bound up. And that's where the enemy would want to keep us. That's what Paul was talking to these people in Galatians, in Galatia. He's saying, look, you're putting religion, you're putting being bound up back into this faith that you've been given freely. So the three P's, planting, patient perseverance, and a promised payoff.
Planting.
Well, I know it's five words, but it's three things. What I meant to say was, there's the planting. Number two is patient perseverance. Number three is the promised payoff. We have a choice of what seed to sow and where to sow it. And the fruit of that seed should be Galatians 5, verse 22, 23. But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit. So if we're walking in alignment with the Holy Spirit, the fruit that we should produce within us from divine love is joy. And I do like the way the Passion expands it. Joy that overflows. Peace that subdues. Patience that endures. Kindness in action. A life full of virtue, goodness. Faith that prevails. Gentleness of heart and strength of the spirit. That last one is self-control. Self-control is huge, I think. Because I think we can be very reactionary when we want to sow a seed in response to something which is not the right seed and it's not the right place to put it. Strength of spirit. So, planting. Patient perseverance, promised payoff. And I think that's all I've got to say about that. Be careful, be aware of what's in your seed bucket. Before you sow it, pray about it. Why am I sowing that? What am I saying? What am I doing? Am I sowing with hope? Am I sowing in love? Am I sowing because of Galatians 5 to receive that fruit? So, Father God, I thank you that you provide us with the seed to sow. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that we just remain so close to you that you guide us in how and where to sow the seeds that you give us. And we want to be good sowers. We want to be accurate sowers. And we want to sow the things that you want us to sow. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.